As a veteran of Capitol Hill, what is it that you think that people in the executive branch don't understand yet about the realities of the budget situations that we'll face over the next couple of years?
I think both in the executive branch, as well as, for instance, the economic analysts on Wall Street and the economics professors in the prestigious universities, we're all saying, oh, well, Congress is going to get a budget deal. It just, you know, cannot avoid raising the debt ceiling before the deadline. And finally, by that last week before August 1st and August 2nd, it was beginning to seep into their minds a kind of creeping panic that, no, this is different. This is not like Bob Dole negotiating with Newt Gingrich on the shutdown. This is not like Tefra in 1982. This is something else. I think we have a very insurgent, almost insurrectionary wing of the Republican Party among the freshmen that simply didn't believe default was a big deal, and some of them were almost saying, bring it on. I think they really need to internalize that we're in uncharted territory. We haven't had a downgrade of the U.S. credit rating since Standard & Poor's started rating government debt in 1917. So as we've seen with the stock market in the last couple of days, we could be in for some very volatile times.
Mike, you were a staffer for Senator Judd Gregg, the former chairman, ranking member of the Budget Committee, and worked on the Hill for a long time, retiring in June of this year. And you wrote in the L.A. Times something that I think is interesting and something that I think kind of got lost in the debt limit discussion that we've had over the last couple of months. You write, raising the debt limit isn't, as the GOP tries to say, Congress giving itself permission to continue excessive spending. It's something that's necessary to pay for past congressional decisions on taxes and spending, and those decisions were made primarily when Republicans were in charge. No one wants to have to raise the debt ceiling, and you go on to talk about some of the potential ramifications there. Why do you think that detail got overlooked, that it was not a permission to increase spending in the future, that it was essentially to cover what we've already promised?
Well, for one thing, it's been a very routine legislative procedure. I think it's occurred heretofore 87 times since the end of World War II, so the public tended not to pay any attention to it or really try to figure out what it really meant. And quite frankly, the politicians that were sort of pushing this sort of debt-pocalypse weren't really in a hurry to educate the public about what it meant. And you saw in polls earlier that most of the public, of course, they didn't want their Social Security or Medicare cut, but they didn't want the debt limit increased, whatever the debt limit increase meant to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, a public lack of knowledge and no real campaign to educate the public.
As you look at what we're looking at, what we're up against with the fiscal 2012 budget, we're only about 7 weeks away from FY 2011 ending. Any prognosis for any kind of some kind of a reasonable deal in a reasonable amount of time when you consider the fact that, as you say, there are some members of Congress who would be perfectly fine with the government shutting down this time around?
Well, as we saw with the near shutdown in April, it went right down to the wire, and instead of individual appropriation bills, I think that's sort of becoming a thing of the past with each agency getting its traditional appropriation bill. You sort of end up with kind of a 2 or 3 week crisis, and then culminating in some sort of an omnibus agreement or a continuing resolution until a couple of months down the road when they get an omnibus agreement.
We have your piece in the LA Times linked up at federalnewsradio.com, Mike, and I appreciate you being on to talk about what we might be up against using your experience from the Hill. Thanks for your time today.